Different by design. Studebaker is. Studebaker is. Studebaker is. Different by design.
Welcome to another edition of Different by Design, the podcast of the Studebaker National Museum. Today we bring you the third installment in our three-part series on the challenges of creating the exhibits for the new museum. Our focus is on the work of moving the cars and collections to the new building and the installation of the new exhibits. Again, we are joined by Cindy Olson, curator for the Studebaker National Museum.
Glad to be here.
Andrew Beckman, archivist for the museum.
Hello.
And Joe Hines, principal of the design firm Project Arts and Ideas in Dearborn, Michigan.
Hello.
Well, let's talk about moving these cars. Andy, how many vehicles does the museum have in its collection?
The museum has approximately between 120 and 130 vehicles. A significant portion of our collection is horse-drawn vehicles, which by their nature simply cannot be transported in the same means as most automobiles can. Many of the horse-drawn vehicles do not have suspensions that will absorb a tremendous amount of shock. They don't have pneumatic tires, which also make the ride a lot more cushy. And we just had to really tread cautiously when it came to moving the horse-drawn equipment. And taking a page from the Hippocratic Oath, our rule was first do no harm, and then just proceed in a cautious and safe manner.
So indeed, how did the vehicles actually physically get from point A to point B? Were some of them driven under their own power?
Whatever vehicles were operational, we did drive over. I think we ended up driving about a dozen or so over here. In some cases, like with the fire truck, that was the only easy way to move it. And thankfully, we had a nice day, and the truck performed flawlessly. And I would add, having a siren helps, too. We also enlisted the help of our capable corps of volunteers. We had, must have been close to a dozen guys. In fact, one of our volunteers graciously offered his Studebaker rollback flatbed truck for moving vehicles. And we enlisted the aid of Bud's Wrecking Service here in South Bend. And without all their contributions, it simply would have been impossible to do in the time that we were given. And it went seamlessly, and I can't say enough about the help of our volunteers on moving the vehicles.
And how long did it take from start to finish?
We moved vehicles kind of in stages over the span of 3 weeks. We essentially moved everything out of the Freeman Spicer building over either into storage or to the new museum building. Cumulative time, I'd say we moved things probably in the better part of 3 days when it was all said and done.
Cindy, now, how many objects, apart from the cars, does the Studebaker National Museum have in its collection?
Apart from the cars, we have just shy of 4,000 objects in the collection, ranging from tiny service pins to large checking fixtures used by the factory to measure the accuracy of the stamps.
So how did you move all those objects?
The most fragile items and the items going directly on display were moved by the staff. They were packed up in advance, separated out, packed, and moved ahead of time. We also hired a professional moving company to help us with the remaining items. We have a relatively small staff here, and to pack up that many objects by ourselves was not something that was feasible in our timeline. So professional movers helped us pack, and they carried all the heavy boxes into the new building under our direction.
So how long did that process take altogether?
Quite a while. Packing took about a month, with the packers there 5 days a week. Moving actually took about 3 weeks. The movers were only there about 3 days a week. So total about 9 days to pack up the semis and get them over to the new building and unpacked.
Describe to us the actual installation of the exhibits. Who did it? How long did it take? What was involved in that?
Our exhibits were fabricated and installed by Freeland & Bowles, a fabrication company out of Toledo. Altogether, I'd say that the installation took about a week, not including the delivery times. They delivered the stuff ahead of time, but about a week to actually put everything up in the building.
Andy, what has the public reaction been like to the new museum?
Everyone that I have talked to has been just bowled over by the new museum. And I've had so many people ask me, are these the same vehicles that you had in the old building? And yes, they are. It's amazing what lighting and exhibits and a new setting, a new building without things falling down around it can really add to the museum experience.
Now, Joe, you design exhibits for museums and organizations of all descriptions. Did you learn things through the Studebaker project that can be of use to you in future endeavors?
One of the most interesting parts of the design process with this project was that there was no building in place to measure, to take photographs of, to really get to know as the as the design effort got started, relying primarily on the architectural plans for the building, I found that just by modeling the space, creating all the walls and creating all the stairways and ceiling structures and all, I really got to know the building before it even existed at all. And in doing so, I was able to work out the plans for the exhibits. And what was an interesting moment was once the building was built, a number of us walked over to the building and walked into one of the main galleries. And these galleries, these floors are very, very large. And if you're looking into a space that has 15,000 square feet, you can be kind of daunted by all that space. So I remember joking at the time that it would have been, if I didn't have the plans already in mind and already worked out, that 15,000 square feet of space looming out in front of us would have been a lot more challenging. But it was well taken care of, and that was the part of the challenge and part of the fun of this project, was working with a building that didn't exist except in the plans and working within those plans.
I'll pose this last question to all of you. Did these new exhibits meet your hopes and expectations?
Yes, I think the exhibits really create a better story. I think the team pulled together and succeeded in our task.
When you saw the empty shell of the building, you couldn't really begin to comprehend, you know, how are we going to place cars in here? How are the pavilions going to work out? Well, how's this all going to shape up? But when we got, you know, things settled and, you know, the dust was swept up and we looked around, it really, really came off far beyond my expectations. We have a smooth flow through the museum in a chronological fashion. People kind of have the freedom that they can, you know, they're not like mice in a maze where they can go through just one direction. There's lots of different stories to be taken out of the museum, and I'm very happy with how it turned out.
For me, I think I really enjoy how the dioramas came out. There again, you can't always be sure how well they'll work. You do your best, and I always model things in 3D to be able to predict things. But the dioramas, I was real happy with how they turned out. I'm generally just real happy with how the vehicles look in space. They were a wonderful collection to work with, and I wanted very much to not fill the space or to block the views, so that as people would enter the galleries, that they would still have a nice wide open view across the expanse of these very, very large galleries. And I think we were able to do that.
On that note, we'll conclude this episode, and indeed this three-part series on designing the exhibits for the new Studebaker National Museum. I want to thank our guests, Cindy Olson, curator at the Studebaker National Museum.
Thank you.
Andrew Beckman, archivist at the museum.
Thank you.
And Joe Hines with the design firm Project Arts and Ideas.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of you for listening, too. We hope you enjoyed the insights we could offer, and we hope that you'll join us for future editions of Different by Design. This podcast was brought to you by Lower Level Productions, with assistance from the Studebaker National Museum. We remind you to support your local museums, and invite you to listen to future editions of Different by Design.
Different by Design.